Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. Comedy Alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on a Friday in New York City. But we are nationwide. 3 hours every single day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, the sun's out. CBS Sports Network. God, finally. Nice today. 1-855-212-4227. Our number. Get back to the calls in a bit. You want to jump in on Dez. A few people still hanging on that we didn't get to. Hopefully we will get to you. And obviously you can get us on Twitter. D-Cell, real quick, what is the percentage split here on the Dez Bryant poll question? We obviously started the show with that. What are we at?
Changed. Still pretty much 50-50. 51% saying he's got some juice left. Yep. 49, nope, he's tapped out.
Oh man, that is uncanny.
I think it's gonna stay. Okay. I think it's gonna stay that way.
As do I. All right, now should I be offended by this? You know, try to get a little morale for the show. You know what I'm saying, right? You know I try to do that.
Of course.
Okay. So last night we had Mike Socia on the show.
He was great.
Last Friday, and he was money.
A week ago,
as always. He was really good. By the way, you guys need to go and check out that interview. A lot of it was about Ohtani and obviously just his life in baseball. All sorts of comparisons. Fernando Valenzuela's name came up. It was just a great chat.
Yeah, right? You can get it on tikiandtierney.com. You can download it on iTunes as well. Just go subscribe to our podcast and you can get it any way and listen to it anytime you want. He actually said his favorite pitcher to catch was Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah.
I was joking with him because how he looks up at his hat. I'm like, how do you catch a guy who's not even looking at you before he throws the ball?
Yeah.
And he goes in to describe how his process was just amazing.
Oh, he had nasty stuff, Fernando.
Yeah,
he was filthy. But one of the things that I was always curious about with Ohtani, because you see him hit these bombs, you know he throws 98 miles per hour. I didn't really know how he ran.
Yeah.
And in baseball, obviously you get time going home to first. Tiki playing football, you guys do the 40-yard dash, and I'm sure you do 10-yard bursts, et cetera, to kind of show the quick gate, the shuttles,
and change of direction and things of that nature.
But baseball is usually the 60-yard dash, and the major league average is generally around 7. Some guys run a 6.4 or 6.5, which is flying. Yeah. Generally, most outfielders, like a slightly above major league outfielders, probably run about a 6.8, right around there. So I want to know what he ran. He said, well, we never timed him in the 60, but... He said he flies, and he said he runs like a wide receiver. So I texted our crew last night. Did you see the triple that he hit?
Ohtani's
triple?
Yes, I did. I saw he gave up his bat to some kid, and he picked up a spare bat and hit a triple.
I saw that, too.
It was pretty awesome.
So I texted our boys,
and
there's a long thread of a lot of show elements, sometimes some goofy stuff, just, you know, messing around. Me, Tiki, Samter, who had surgery yesterday on his wisdom teeth. Not that he could afford to lose any wisdom. Doesn't have a whole lot to begin with. And D-Cell, right? And I write to my crew last night at 10:30. Socia wasn't playing. Ohtani just hit a bases loaded triple, and he was flying around the bases with explosive strides, trying to keep everybody in the loop, making sure my guys are watching baseball, get a little dialogue. Crickets. Nobody writes back.
I knew this was going to come up on the
show. Well, how come nobody writes back? Well,
I hadn't seen it, so I didn't want to chime in if I hadn't seen it.
Go to Twitter. You catch a GIF in 9 seconds.
I was at a party.
I didn't
Tracy
see it.
And I went to the Hollywood Reporter party, and then we went out for some drinks.
Did you get the wait? So did you actually get the text?
I don't know.
At some point during the party,
say,
"Gosh, just beat
it." I don't know if I got it.
I don't know if you got it. That's a cop out. You either got it and ignored me, which is fine.
If I did get it, I probably didn't get it until this morning.
Were you wasted?
Not wasted, but champagne was
flowing. You feeling pretty good? Not even like a mercy response. Like, hey, I'm out. I'll get you later. I got to check it out.
Then Tracy wanted some Moscow mules.
Mm-hmm. Moscow mules?
Yeah.
The hell is that?
It's vodka. It's lime juice. A little bit of sugar. It's delicious, actually. They serve them in those tin cups. Like they're copper looking cups.
Okay,
you've seen it. You just
like from the medieval times kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it looks like.
Yep,
it's delicious.
By the way, do you know? Speaking of medieval times, the origin. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
You know when you say cheers?
Yeah.
And you clink glasses. Yeah. That's where the expression cheers came during the medieval times, right? When the fight was over, and the two leaders they would celebrate, or they would, I mean, not really celebrate, but
whatever.
They would toast.
It's over.
And they would purposely clink glasses hard so that because I still don't really trust you fully. My drink spills into yours and yours spills into mine, theoretically. So if you're trying to poison me or I'm trying to poison you, there's no foul play. The battle's over. Cheers.
And so if you didn't cheers.
A little something to worry about.
You know, that's where it comes from. When you cheers and you don't mean it, you don't look like you're like, cheers.
Yeah, you give like the half-hearted. The worst is when you do cheers and then the person doesn't take a swing. Like that, I've actually seen, cheers, hey, great, great game, Layla, great job. Cheers. And they just put their drink down. You got to take a drink, you idiot. All right, let's play this. So the exit meetings are, for the most part, relatively inconsequential.
Yeah.
Unless you don't show up like my guy Kristaps Porzingis a year ago. Or your
Alonzo.
What's that?
It worked.
It did it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? He got hurt and how did it work? They were terrible.
Phil Jackson got fired.
Well, that's true. I guess he got his way. Yay. He won. He won the battle. Or you're Lonzo Ball and you're asked this question. Listen to this.
What did you take away most from Magic and Rob and Luka and the conversation you just had and how that built into all the conversations you've had throughout the season?
Basically, it's just the biggest summer of my life. You know, time to transition now from, you know, rookie year to pretty much sophomore year. So just looking forward to it. Ready to put in the work and get after it.
Okay. It's a real overreaction right there.
Yeah.
Magic tells him that this is the biggest summer of his life. No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Why do you not think so?
Okay. Michael Jordan, give you the example from the best player, if you still believe it's MJ or LeBron, whatever, but MJ. Michael Jordan didn't really experience the true growth until like season 5 or 6. You know why?
Why?
Because he changed his body to absorb the physicality from getting the stuffing kicked out of him by the Detroit Pistons.
You're right.
So, yeah, he worked on his offhand, then he got up 1,000 jumpers a day, I'm sure, after his rookie season.
Yeah.
But the real transformation came half a decade in.
Yeah, well.
So I just think it's an overreaction.
Well, let's go get shots up. Here's why. That's requisite. Of course he's going to that. I think this is
good shots, not crooked from his ear shots.
Even though
real shots.
Even though they started going down as the season went on.
They did.
The reason this is an important offseason and not the biggest offseason of Lonzo's life is because he has to grow up and become his own man. He can't let what his dad says affect him or his team anymore. And that means, Dad, I'm distancing myself from you as it pertains to my relationship with the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm. And that's, you can't do that in the middle of a season, right? Because his dad's just going to be popping off at the hip as we heard from Lithuania and everything else that he does to keep himself relevant. This offseason for Lonzo has to be about, I need to show everybody, especially my team and my teammates, that I am my own man. That everything that you heard about me and as it pertains to my dad is not who I am. And that's not taking shots. It's an intangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But his teammates need to know that. And so in my mind, because of what he came in carrying, this is important for him to establish this all season. So it's not necessarily about his shot and the physicality. He's 20 years old. I mean, you're right, BT. It's going to take him a couple of years. Right? Any young player, when I came into the NFL at 21 years old, I had no idea. You know, it took me 3 or 4 years to figure out how to get the right size and how to take care of my body. So in that regard, you're right. But it's this other side that's so important and at times have become a distraction for him that he's got to cut it off. I'm not saying he's got to sever his relationship with his dad. He'll have a great relationship with his dad, as all of them do. But it can't be this public nuisance to his Lakers teammates and to the Lakers team.
Okay. Now, you say that. Interesting that you go there. Number one, do you have the confidence he's going to do that? Because I don't.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But if I was Magic Johnson, that's what I would have told him. That would have been my advice.
Okay. Even if you tell him that, it's not going to change him. Mm. I mean, there were points this year when LeVar was popping off about how nobody wanted to play for Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Lonzo still didn't get any separation,
right.
Any definitive separation from that thought process. So we can only imply, whether it's right or wrong, that Lonzo's chopping it up with his dad on the phone. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Pops, man, I don't know. Nobody's feeling this guy. This cat's going to be out of here pretty. But however you talk to your dad and tell you your coach doesn't, that you don't think that. He never once got an ounce of separation from that. So to me, that represents too much of like a radical shift in the dynamic of their relationship. I don't know if he's capable, because I think he's been so suppressed and so overwhelmed by LeVar's incredibly enormous personality for 19 and a half years that I don't know that if he's able, capable.
Yeah.
Even if he's willing of doing that.
But at some point, he has to. At some point, you have to become your own man.
That's what you and I think. Yes. Well, the answer is yes. But that relationship's different.
Yeah.
That relationship's different. And here's the other part. Say if he actually did do that with LeVar, not publicly, and you're absolutely right. This is a father-son relationship. Who the hell are we to really infringe on it on the most personal level?
And that's
level?
Not even what I'm talking
about.
No,
I know you're not. That's almost out of bounds. I mean, that's not in our job description. We want to show that relationship respect. But even if he were to take an aggressive, authoritative role in their relationship and assume some of the power, which you and I both question whether or not he will or is able, if he did that, would LeVar actually acquiesce? And then if he didn't, which is quite possible, by the way, would Lonzo then have to have a different approach which could challenge their relationship? There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at play here.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
And at the end of the day,
that's why I wouldn't have drafted him.
I mean, the problem is he's good. He's as a shooter, he's not necessarily he's not knocking down 55% or whatever. It would be excellent, but he is a great distributor of the basketball, and he's a good complete player. It's there's always a distraction with him. And it subsided at the end of the season.
It did.
And a lot of that, though, BT, was because he missed so much time.
And because LeVar disappeared.
Yeah, LeVar was on the other side of the world, literally. And
getting his other son ready for the lottery.
In the G League. And at the end of the day, Lonzo missed a lot of time.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean? And so just because he wasn't available, there was no stories being written about him. There was no opportunity to be a distraction. So he kind of got lucky, and that void allowed him to fix his shot a little bit, because he did start knocking down shots a little bit better at the end of the season, and I think blend into the background a little bit more as some of those other young players there, Julius Randle being the biggest one, started to take some of the spotlight out in Los Angeles. So it's interesting where we want him to be, right? Do we need if you're Los Angeles, do you need him to be the man, or is he better served being that second fiddle player who's just really good and average?
I think it depends what's around him, which leads us to a point about Magic Johnson. You want to talk about an important summer?
Yeah.
Magic's got to show that he could deliver stars to L.A.
You're right.
He's not getting LeBron unless something wacky happens. Can you get Paul George?
Maybe.
Can you coerce Paul George to come?
Maybe, but Paul George, talking about
Paul George,
shot
a lifelong Laker. Should be easy. Bring him in, Magic.
It should be.
And if that happens, to answer your question, then Lonzo can function at a comfortable level, being who he is, dishing, hitting the rebound, igniting the own break, his own fast break.
Yep.
But I mean, he shot 36% overall for a 36. Not
that's bad
overall.
Yeah, you're right.
That is woeful.
Yeah.
At one point, his PER was single digits. It got up to about 12 or 13, and he did show some growth. And I think he's going to be good. But I mean, if he's a sub 40% overall shooter in today's game, you could give me all the rebounds and dimes you want and flirt with triple doubles. You got to be able to shoot from 20 feet.
And you can't have all that other stuff hanging around.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. All right.
Complicated young man.
Big summer for the Lakers. We'll see. And by the way, I think Magic will deliver, but we need to see it, you know? All right, coming up next, this is a really interesting story. Levi Wallace played at Alabama, defensive back, to draft prospect. To be fair, latter portion of the draft, but it's a really interesting story. Now, if you follow the SEC, of course, you know who he is, but his family, just the road, it's incredible. Really, really incredible, to be redundant, young man. So we're going to chat with him coming up next. Levi Wallace from Alabama, getting ready for the draft. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We're going to chat with Levi Wallace here in a minute or so, former Alabama defensive back, getting ready for the draft. And Tiki and I were watching some highlights during the commercial break here with Otani, and they were showing some baseball brawls, et cetera. Manfred would never say this.
No.
You got to love these baseball brawls, just getting some early eyes to the sport.
It creates a talking point around the game in the early stages when everybody's still trying to figure out who's who, who's for real, who's not, et cetera. And You get people get juiced about this. The caller we had yesterday who talked about his kids, like, if that ever happened, I got your back. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a practical reason that baseball, which is not a physical sport, could use some physicality.
I mean, it takes over social media. Mm-hmm. You see all the clips of and the footage on Twitter when something like that happens. But you're right. I mean, it's really not. You can't look at the first 10, 12, 15 games of any season. Unless if you start like 13-2 over the first 15, you'd have to collapse not to at least be a wild card team. So if you start like that, like the Mets right now to me, even though they're not 13-2, they're 10-1, that's a meaningful enough start because, you know, they swept the Nats, get a little separation there, carve out a little cushion where if they do stumble midseason, which all teams do, I still think their 10-win start in 11 games is really important. But the Cubs are 6-6. Yankees are a game below 500. It means nothing.
No.
I don't think it means anything. Yeah. You know, the Dodgers are 4-7.
Yeah.
Now, that might mean something. The Dodgers, I was never really enamored with their pitching coming in. And they got a -4 run differential. Yeah. How do you have a -4 run differential with those mashers in the lineup?
That they're not hitting, obviously.
True. But, I mean, think about that. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at the standings now. The Pirates are ones that I'll keep talking about because they were supposed to be rebuilding.
Yeah.
But you're right. You look at a team like the Cardinals in the Central, sticking with the Pirates division here.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals, I mean, they're 6-7 right now. And, you know, by all, you know, measures, you could say, oh, they're going to have a down year. They're not going to have a down year. The Cardinals are always a team that finds their way back to the top of the division as the season goes on. So it tells you a little bit, but not. It's not definitive at this point.
No offense to the great city of Cincinnati and San Diego, but more so Cincinnati. The only true position I would take right now is that the Reds are atrocious. Mm. They are bad. Other than that, it's early. Teague, this is one of the great stories. And, you know, you have to look for these. You have to be, quite frankly, when you do what you and I do, generally go for the A-listers. You know, there's great name recognition, great value in getting big names, which we certainly do. But there's good names with great stories who can morph into big names when they get into the NFL. And here's one of them for you. Levi Wallace, who played at Alabama, he's a draft prospect, former D-back for the Crimson Tide, won a championship, of course. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Levi, how are you today? Hello?
I think we lost
him. I just picked up the phone. Okay, we'll get him back there. Levi... You know, his dad passed away from ALS, mm-hmm. and we want to get into the story because it was his dad who grew up in Tuscaloosa who was a devout Crimson Tide fan and really encouraged his son to stick with the sport, and I believe we have Levi back. Levi, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are doing awesome. A lot of respect for your story, which we wanted to tell on the air here, and it certainly starts at home with the relationship with your dad and how much your dad loves Alabama football. But just to put this in the proper perspective for our audience, there are full rides in football, there are recruited walk-ons, mm-hmm. and then there are walk-ons. And that was you. You weren't even a recruited walk-on, and you went on to do great things, but it's so much deeper than that. Tell us a little bit about your story, about your dad, about how you got to where you are right now, if you can.
Like you said, I walked on here at Alabama, you know, came out of high school with no offers. I was pretty much done playing football. And my dad kind of convinced me to walk on. You know, he thought I was a great player coming out of high school, and he just didn't want me to be doing football just quite yet. You know, he told me when it's over, it's over. So I went out there and gave it a shot. You know, I got put on scholarship 2 years ago. Started this year and had the best season of my life.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, when you say you had no offers, you mean not even like a mid-major or Division II? Nobody said, hey, Levi, come. Even if it's Division III, nobody said, come play for us? Nobody?
No, I mean, I had people looking at me.
Yeah.
But no, nothing official.
Wow.
A couple NAIA schools. And then North Dakota State, they were looking at me too.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, nothing official.
Now, your dad was a big Alabama fan, and he passed away from ALS after your freshman year or during your freshman year. And he's really the catalyst for you going to Alabama and I guess the motivating force behind you pushing through all of this. Now, when you lost him, what was that like emotionally for you away at college and not being able to be there really with him for that loss, that big loss for your family?
Well, I was kind of lost, not to be honest. you know, that second semester, I kind of just gave up on school a little bit. Just had no desire to eat, no desire to talk to anybody. You know, stopped going to church for a while. Just kind of kept myself kind of stay quiet. But Coach Saban, you know, he noticed that, and you know, he wanted to do something for me. He got me talking. You know, tell me about his dad and how his dad had passed away, you know, his stories. You know, I think we and him just connected on that. He became kind of a mentor to me in that aspect. And then just had the organization just around me. It really helped motivate me and get me back to my studies and falling back in love with football.
Yeah, and obviously it led to what ultimately became a national championship run for you. I mean, your stats this year were amazing. 14 pass breakups, and most people don't look at that stat if you don't know football deeply, but that's a big deal. Obviously, 3 interceptions as well. We saw a couple of them here on the network. But what made you evolve into this player? You know what I mean? Because you weren't highly recruited. You weren't the, you know, superstar athlete coming out of high school. How did you achieve so much at, I mean, really the greatest college program over the last decade or two.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, just having the athletes that they have here, it's only going to make you better. You know, just going against some of the top-tier receivers here, I mean, you kind of have no choice to get better or I mean, you're going to get looked past and, you know, be underdeveloped the whole time. So, you know, just taking in Coach Saban's, you know, his technique that he taught all of us and just really trying to master that. It definitely really helped me along the way. Just wanted to be one of the best players to ever come through, not just corner, but one of the best players. So,
we'll talk to Levi Wallace from Alabama, of course, a draft prospect. We'll ask you where you think you might go. We'll get to that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But your story is so much more interesting, so powerful, such a motivational tool for a lot of young, not just young athletes, but young people who get dealt some tough cards. When they lose a parent, lose somebody, maybe somebody that if it was a grandparent that helped raise them. But I want to go back to your story, Levi, about the anecdote that you gave us with Coach Saban here. Because, you know, to us, 2,000 miles away, whatever it is, you know, we parachute in and out of his press conferences and he just seems robotic and he almost seems without any real emotion outside of just loving football. But you took the curtain back a little bit and you kind of present a very different person, one with a heart. And more importantly, one with a sense of the ability to read somebody else's emotions. And I don't think a lot of people know that about Coach Saban. Were you surprised when he opened up about his dad? Because it doesn't seem like he does that very often.
No, I think Coach Saban's very personable as far as just depending on who he's talking to. You know, maybe not out in front of the whole team, but, you know, one-on-one, he definitely wants to be close with his players and, you know, connect with them. You know, I think he thinks more than it's just about football, but building relationships and trying to help people, you know, become better men just outside of football. So just having him encourage me and push me along the way was definitely a boost.
Yeah, let's jump forward to where you are right now. I mean, you're a little bit away from the draft. What are we, 2 weeks away, 2+ weeks away from the draft?
Seems like 2 years.
I know. It feels like forever until this thing is going to happen. But how are you feeling? How have your workouts been? I know Alabama had a pro day not too long ago. How are you feeling about the prospect of getting to live this dream that all of us wanted to get to? Some of us don't, but some of us do. How do you feel right now?
I feel great. I feel great. You know, like you said, it's taking forever. So it's like we still got another 2 more months. You know, the days are going fast, but in reality, they're still really slow. So I'm kind of anxious, you know, just excited, trying to figure out where I'm going to go and, you know, what the next year of my life is going to be like. But I'm excited. I can't wait for it. You know, pro day went good.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple private workouts that also went good. But, yeah, like I said, just stay working out with these guys down here in Alabama. And just waiting for the draft.
Most of the mock drafts have you going on the second day, which means you won't be at the draft. What's the plans? I mean, how does the Levi Wallace crew, how does the Wallace family sit around? Where do you watch the draft? What do you anticipate going through that day, and where will you watch it?
I haven't even decided yet, honestly.
Watch it with us. Come over to Tiki's house.
Yeah, right? I got room.
go ahead.
I definitely haven't decided yet. You know, me and my mom were just talking about it the other day, trying to figure out if we should have something here in Tuscaloosa or North Carolina where she's at.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, Levi, there's Antiki, you know, was a star in the NFL. Certain players are just blessed with great talent and it comes easy. Others are blessed with great talent and they don't really fully develop. Maybe they don't love the game. Others earn literally everything that they have. And it seems like you are somebody that falls into that category. I'm not saying you're not talented. I'm not saying that at all. But you have had a scrap and fight. And I've got great confidence that that characteristic is going to shine through and carry you through, hopefully, a really long NFL career. Really, really good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, be good, Levi, and be blessed. Good luck, man.
There you go. Levi Wallace. You know, we always talk about the Tiki and Tierney mojo. Let's throw a healthy dose toward this young man right here.
I agree.
A healthy dose.
Yeah, great career he had at Alabama. And he had to beat out guys that were on scholarship.
That's right.
And he did. And was one of the best defensive backs on that team, even though they have some great ones on that squad. A couple of them. Minka Fitzpatrick may be the first DB taken in this year's draft.
Probably going to go top 10.
Yeah, probably. But this kid, man, 14 pass breakups, a big deal.
I think it was 15.
Yeah, 14
and
or 15.
He had a pick, brought it back to the house. Yeah. I mean, man, could you imagine how it just takes a special, I know we got a break here. It just takes a special person. And obviously without his dad's motivation and direction.
I think it was his dad's motivation and direction.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're sitting here looking at the photo of his dad who passed away from ALS. And, you know, the big story behind it was that he didn't want to play football anymore. And his dad said, why don't you give it a shot? Mm-hmm. See how good you can be. Or show how good you are. And so he walked on to Alabama because that's where his dad loved. He made the team, got a scholarship 2 years in, as he mentioned, and ultimately was a starting cornerback on a national championship team. I mean, people can't say that.
It's kind of like Rudy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that dissimilar.
Right.
Only it's real.
Yeah.
Except it's real. I mean,
exactly.
Elements of Rudy are real, but yeah. Rudy wasn't drafted.
Rudy had half a sack, too.
That's right. Against Georgia Tech, he comes screaming around the edge. He looked like Chubb from NC State, way they made him look in the movie, right? All right, let's get the update from Jay Berman. Here's Jay.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. We'll do hoops next hour, a lot of it. Getting ready for the NBA playoffs, which begin tomorrow. 4 games, really the entire day, you know, from, I think, noon Eastern all the way through the night. Same on Sunday. So you have 4 Saturday, 4 Sunday. And I just want to double check this. I was put this on Instagram earlier on my account. Remember I said I had 6 of the 8 series going, at least 6 games?
Yep.
I think I changed it to 7. Hold on.
Which one is not?
No. I have.
It's got to be Houston.
Every one of them is at least 6.
Every one?
Yeah, every one is at least 6.
Wow.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6s and 3 7s. Yeah. I got the Spurs winning a couple. And without Embiid, even with Joel Embiid, I mean, you know, Ben Simmons never played a playoff minute.
No,
I mean, Miami's tough.
I would agree with that one.
You know? Not that I think they're going to win the series, but.
It's just the Timberwolves and Nuggets. Not sure the Timberwolves are taking.
You don't think Timberwolves are going to win a couple games with Jimmy Butler? Are you serious?
No.
Carl Anthony Towns?
No.
I do. You don't want to bet me, do you?
No.
Okay. Drop the record to 0-9 all time on bets. You sure?
No.
All right. You ready for
football? I got to save those. Once I get the double digits of losing to you, then I'm over.
Well, then we hit the reset button and we do it again.
Exactly.
Football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki, you obviously know how this segment goes, but if you're new to the show, Football at the 40 is a way to basically stuff a little football into every show.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, rifle through a couple of topics, maybe not lead stories like Dez Bryant. We obviously started the show with that and almost did the first hour on that. More, you know, secondary and third level kind of stories, some news and notes, keep you guys up to speed. You ready to roll?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so Seattle, boy, they moved quickly away from Colin Kaepernick, huh?
Yeah, they
didn't wait a whole lot of time. Stephen Morris is now the backup to Russell Wilson after postponing the visit with Kaepernick. Seattle pounced. They also just signed Sebastian Janikowski. You walked out of the room. Yeah, Bourbon had that in the update.
Wow, nice.
They just signed him to a 1-year deal. They got a new kicker. They got a new backup quarterback
as well.
Yeah, they
got a backup quarterback who has no business being in the National Football League. But this just goes to show you that teams don't want any distractions. And so instead of signing Colin Kaepernick, they bring in the former Hurricane The U toss it up, D-Cell.
Get him up.
Stephen Morris, who has been not drafted by the Jaguars, but he signed. Then he claimed off waivers from the Eagles. He was there for 2 weeks, and he was on the active roster for a sip of coffee for the Colts and then on the practice squad and hasn't been in the NFL since any time last season.
Oof. Boy, that's
Cap.
That gives you a lot to think about there.
I agreed.
Wow. I didn't know it was quite that bad.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it wasn't very meaningful.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
How about this, though? The Texans, Stedman Bailey, who suffered a gunshot wound to the head, as we all know, the Texans are showing interest in signing Bailey, of course, a wide receiver.
I highly recommend you go read this story. You can find it on Bleacher Report. Mm-hmm. It's called I Can't Be Stopped, and it's about Stedman Bailey's saga over the last year and a half. Now, he got shot in the head. By a drive-by. I mean, but he literally got shot in the head, and there was a hole through his head. It missed a vital piece of his brain by mere centimeters. And he has a titanium plate. And it's interesting because the reason this happened, BT, is because he was on a marijuana suspension. And because of the asinine rules in the National Football League, if you're suspended for a performance-enhancing drug or a substance of abuse, you can't be around the team.
So, I don't have a problem with that. I don't want to take away from the story of Stedman Bailey.
I think it's ridiculous, especially for some of these kids who, when they go home, they get in trouble.
Mm.
Not that he was getting in trouble. This was a random, horrific event. But he's back, and he's physically strong. He ran a 4.3 40 in his workout. I mean, he's good. I hope he gets a shot
because
this is going to be one of the unbelievable comeback stories in NFL history because he should have been dead.
And he's
still alive and kicking strong.
You don't hear about too many gunshot wounds to the head without there an obituary next to it. That's amazing. Okay, so as Stedman Bailey claws his way back to the league, this is an interesting one. Mike Wallace. Now, Mike Wallace isn't a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Wallace isn't like a heavy running back or a big, thick fullback back in the 80s or 90s. Mike Wallace is a wide receiver.
He is.
Mike Wallace has a roster bonus. You ready for the weight?
Mm-hmm.
If he weighs under 250 pounds.
Mike Wallace weighs about 202 pounds, by the way. So this is contract manipulation in some ways.
Of course it is. Circumvention.
He signed his base salary this year is just under $1 million. He has a $1 million signing bonus, so that's really all that they're liable for if they should decide to cut him, and $2.1 million in incentives. One of them is just don't get fat in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right?
Another one is if you get 3 touchdowns, then you get a $250,000 bonus. If you get 4 touchdowns, Mike Wallace gets a $500,000 bonus. So this is completely incentive-laden because they didn't have these are likely to be achieved. But they still don't count against the cap in the short term.
So what you're saying is don't turn it to Kelvin Benjamin from 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Don't let that happen to you.
Yeah, but it's got to happen in like 2 weeks.
Well, true, true. What a strange road for Wallace. Burst on the scene, couple of years in Pittsburgh, couple of years in Baltimore, couple of years in Miami, Minnesota.
He's jumped around a ton.
And he, you know, still 18, 19, 20 yards a catch, can still get deep, can obviously still find the end zone a little bit.
He's a good player. I like him.
At this point, I
just don't know how valuable he is, but I like him as a player.
I guess. But there's just something wrong. Like, when teams are that quick and that willing to get rid of you, and you have that kind of speed and that kind of, I don't know. It's just, he doesn't seem like he wins. I don't want to say he's not a winner. That's unfair. But there's something off there. He's too talented to have bounced around this much.
I don't disagree.
This guy's got issues. 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster charged with 3 felony counts in the domestic violence case. If he's found guilty, he's in jail for over a decade.
He's going to jail. It seems like he's going to jail.
Niners got to cut him.
I'm surprised they haven't
already.
They have to. I mean, once he was charged and now indicted, they have to cut ties with him. Ruptured his girlfriend's eardrum in his domestic case. 3 felony counts, as BT said. There is no place for this in the National Football League. Reuben Foster, you are the example. And you might go to jail.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad guy right there. You know, there's people who make some mistakes who are good people, and then there's people who just seemingly have just a darkness to them that you don't want them really around society right now. I mean, you do something like that, you got to go away. And, you know, you have to wonder, how this frames John Lynch's draft. Remember, he was universally praised for, hey, we got both players we wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy doesn't play snap for you again. That kind of changed the dynamic of the way we perceive that draft.
Agreed.
You know? So, we'll see. Jarvis Landry and the Browns. How about this, Teak? Now, again, the numbers pop off the page. It means nothing at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. 5 years, $75 million extension.
Yes.
But pretty nice commitment to Jarvis Landry, one the Dolphins weren't ready to make.
I got to tell you, it actually, this one has some meat into it because it's 47 of it or so is guaranteed. So averaging $15.1 million over the life of this deal puts him about fifth in the National Football League as far as wide receivers are concerned. And it's more important because it's going to shape the market for his former college teammate, Odell Beckham Jr. Now, Odell, who is significantly more, I don't want to say talented, because I think they're both really talented, but productive, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. with his yards and touchdowns, then Jarvis Landry is easily going to go over 18 if Jarvis Landry is getting 15 and a half.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So Reuben Foster was the second to last pick of the first round last season, obviously out of Bama. And yeah, that I remember. Can you dig up the quote, Diesel? Can you find the quote from Lynch when he said, basically, I pretty much said, I don't know what the exact quote was. I nailed the gist of it, that he got both players that he wanted here. I mean, that's a first round pick. Who doesn't play a year for you?
Mm-hmm.
And he got hurt a little bit as well. Remember, he got hurt pretty early.
Yep.
I mean, that you can't help hurt. That you can't help. I'm not putting that on Lynch, obviously. And then who else did they take there?
What was his issue?
Oh, Solomon Thomas from Stanford. That's right.
Yeah. No, I forget there was an issue coming out of college, and I think it was like a weed issue. It wasn't a.
He definitely had a mark against him.
Yeah, there was something that caused him to fall.
Oh yeah.
Right, because he was thought of as one of the best players coming into this year, last year's draft.
Yep.
But he falls all the way down to the bottom. And I think that's what it was. I think it was actually at the combine. Wasn't he one of those combine guys? Wasn't he clipped for marijuana at the combine or tested at the combine?
He got into an altercation, I think, at the combine.
Yeah.
There may have been a secondary weed element at some point.
He was asked to leave. Yeah.
There was definitely. I don't want to just start throwing guesses and maybe incorrectly impugn the young man's record here. I mean, he's pretty good at that himself, I guess, allegedly. He failed the drug test at the combine? He failed, and then he was asked to leave. All right, so that's just, I mean, that's clown 101. And do you find the quote from Lynch? You didn't find that yet? Look at this, Tika. You know, we're getting ready for the NFL draft coming up in 2 weeks, and I said before it feels like 2 years because this thing can't get here soon enough.
Yeah.
This is going to be awesome. But I look back at last year. Again, it's a really early read. But there's a couple of swing and misses in the top 10. You ready for two of them? John Ross went number 9 to the Bengals.
True.
Remember, he ran a 4-2, whatever it was, 4-2-1.
Was hurt a lot.
Didn't play at all.
Yeah.
And barely played. Corey Davis, who I still think is going to be pretty good,
but
I got to be honest with you, a little alarmed because I was pumping this kid up as much as anybody.
He got hurt also, and I think it was his hand, wasn't it? Didn't he break a hamstring injury?
Maybe in camp.
No, I think you're right. I think it was a hamstring, and then something else happened. He was a disappointment. And again, I always say this, BT, and it's the truth. Like, learning how to take care of yourself is the most important thing that a young player can do, because the quicker you learn it, the quicker you realize that you can be available. And if you're not available, they're going to move on. They're not waiting for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you are a first-round draft pick, unless you're, you know, top 10 or 15, you become expendable pretty quickly. And that fifth-year option thing is out the window. You'll get your 4 years, and you'll be somewhere else.
It's amazing. And it happens a lot with wide receivers. I just flash back to, I guess this would have been 2015 draft, right? So I mentioned Ross, who had a complete, you know, no-show as a rookie. Kevin White. We loved him coming out of West. Remember, we had him on the show. We were raving about him. Seventh overall pick. I mean, his career is basically over.
Yeah,
he's basically over. Eric Flowers, the pick right after that for the Giants. He's terrible.
Yeah, and didn't show up for this offseason.
The only one.
Yeah,
the only one. Leonard Williams is good. Amari Cooper's good. Brandon Schreffer is good. Offensive lineman, Redskins. Mariota's pretty good. Winston's. I mean, they're going to be good.
Yeah,
I think. Right? Are you still sold on Winston? Sold. Meaning multiple 10, 11 win seasons.
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
I am.
So am I.
I am.
What about Mariota?
Also, I worry about his health now.
Remember the game he played against the Steelers on that Thursday night?
Yeah.
He threw at least four picks.
Yep.
Remember some of those throws?
But it's a health thing now for him that I didn't think I would have to worry about because I thought he was better equipped at being an athlete and avoiding those things.
Yeah.
But he's getting soft tissue injuries, which are not good for a quarterback who's mobile.
He's been banged up a little bit. Can't deny that there, T. Coming up next, B.J. Armstrong, former NBA guard, current player agent. Get his thoughts on the first round. Get his thoughts on the draft as well. The first round begins tomorrow. Joel Embiid is out. He's not going to play game one. How's that going to impact the Sixers and their quest to maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Get to some hoops next on Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.